Let's continue to listen to Violet Archer talk about her studies.
When I studied with Hinduism at Yale, I was absolutely sold on the idea that I wanted to teach very much, because he trained us so well to put ideas across, you see, lucidly. Now, I studied all theoretical subjects with him for 2 years at Yale. The fact of it was that so much of his ideas rubbed themselves on me, I couldn't help but absorb his ideas, his miraculous memory and his thoroughness in explaining any teaching point, you know. And of course, he expected us who were taking courses like the teaching of theory to, as teachers, to be able to illustrate any teaching point effectively and not be just paper musicians. See, he was very keen on the sound being listened to and heard.
I definitely hear the profound influence of Paul Hindemith in the music. There's a continual return to the perfect fourth as a melodic interval, as a structural interval, and that's very much a part of Hindemith. The other aspect, of course, is the fact that she did set things in predominantly classical structures. The presentation of a theme, the development of a theme, the set of variations that would go around that. She did it in her own way, but she continuously returned to those things. And she was also a contrapuntalist, too, in that sense. Not as overt as Hindemith, but nonetheless a strong part of him. So that there's definitely an oral connection when I listen to her music, to her teacher. But then there's an Italian quality to it. There's a Montreal resident kind of quality to it. It's not Germanic. It's not so overt. It's always buried within the attempt to really sing through the music. So I think that's where she differs from her teacher, and that's where she strikes out on her own.
Now we'll hear Archer's Trio Number 2 from 1956 and 7. You can decide whether you can hear Hindemith's influence in it, or Bartok's, or her Italian heritage, or her French-Canadian upbringing.